We just made a donation on your behalf to Japan's Bear Protection Society. The bears, if you look at the media headlines, the bears are running amok and people are thinking about how you can cull them and get rid of them. And what they actually need is a natural habitat and protection. So, yeah. So we've made a small donation on your behalf instead of giving you a pen or a coaster. Or please forgive us. But please scan the QR on that bear card if you want to find out more about what the Japan's Bear Protection Society is doing for them. Thank you. And without further ado, last Q&A panel of the day. I know we've got some, we've collected some extra. Who wants to hold the mic?
Give it to Emil, who'll be talking the most.
Oh, this one, sorry. Yeah, this one. Yes. Not that one.
Not that one.
Take
this one.
The good one.
The one with the bomb.
Yeah, hold it. Hold it.
Is that because I'm Iraqi?
I had that line in school.
I had that line in high school.
Peak golf balls. Oh my God, I made
it. So I know how to arm it.
Okay. Have you got the question? Oh, yeah. In the front.
So we can't raise your hands or just keep going with the stream.
Oh, okay. Then we've got on the stream. I'll go this one here.
Yes, we're ready to start.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
All right, let's get into it. So, thank you.
Well, since we're near the end here, and thank you, everybody, for amazing presentations and just amazing anecdotes and stories and broadening the world of what is possible as far as investment, especially for non-native Japanese, but including Japanese, actually, here. It's been a wonderful experience. Previously, I heard from Ben about a particular experience or something that kind of led you into the reason you're here, like why you got into investing. And I was kind of curious if there's something, and this is for anybody, a particular event, a particular anecdote or experience that led you onto this path or something that kind of stands out in your mind that you'd like to share.
All right. Yeah, I'm holding the microphone, so I will begin. For me, it was, I bought my first house in 2013 when my first child was born. And it was just such a great deal. I thought I could do everything myself, and I did everything myself. But I could speak Japanese, and I'm pretty good with numbers. So it made sense to me, and I figured it all out myself. But then I started telling my friends about the process, and you should buy a house because it's a great deal. You really need to do it. You really need to do it. And I was telling so many people that, they're like, you should sort of maybe do a little seminar and explain to a larger audience. So I started working with one of the real estate agents that I met in the process, and I started to do that and have little seminars in 2014. So I've been doing this now for 12 years, a version of this. And even now I do it because, as I said in my presentation, Japanese home loans are special, and I think it can really change your life for a young family that want a foundation and stability to buy your own home. As a father of three, having that security and stability is super important to enjoy your life and worry about, not about safety and security in this foreign country, which right now with permanent residency, we're still a bit unsure about, you know, for a lot of people. So helping people achieve that level of safety net for them is important for me, and that's why I do what I do.
Bank. Oh. Yeah. You're saying you're pretty good with numbers. That's very humble of you, Emil. You are a walking calculator, and you are so kind and generous with all of your information. So you are a very, very humble man. Actually, all of this panel, I love working with all of these wonderful, wonderful people, and it's like it being able to find a group of folk who have deep integrity, have a deep love for Japan. It's like I'm just saying, guys, it's a real honor for me to be here. So anyway, enough of that. My anecdote was, I had my child, and then I couldn't have enough space in my little Tokyo apartment for all the family and friends who wanted to come. So I started by accident. I rented a second apartment, and then I discovered I really, really loved hospitality. I loved being able to show folks my town, the way I lived, and it was a product that I felt really proud to deliver and that people were happy to pay me lots and lots of money for. So two things can be true at once. You can make very good money and you can have a business that you're proud of and with full of integrity. So yeah, that's my little anecdote.
All right, so I really like the idea of being a passive investor. So being passive means I have to leverage other people's money and other people's time. So one thing I learned is like I'm a lazy investor. I like to copy Warren Buffett's strategy, like I shared in my presentation. If I can borrow 2%, I can still make 5% of cash flow. Then why not, right? I have 3% margin. So I can save my time and just enjoy my time, do whatever I want and with whoever I want to spend my time with.
I think I'll comment on just where I am in the kind of startup journey. So I'm starting, we have started this non-resident lending business. And it was something that, it's not an original idea. And I think many people had thought about this. And I wanted to put this together. I felt, when I started to talk to people, many people were like, oh, Mark, that's not going to work. Many people have tried it. But I really felt I could use some of the connections I had to put this together. Frankly, everything has taken longer than I would have liked and has cost significantly more. But here we are, and we've made our first loans. And I'm feeling, I'm definitely feeling pressure to ramp up, but I'm also feeling pretty good and proud and excited for the future.
Goat man.
The question is how we got started, right? So this morning, I talked about rock and roll a little bit. What's that? Oh, okay. So the rock and roll thing totally makes sense and is very much true. But actually, there's a bit of a deeper story there. It has everything to do with the March 11th, 2011 disaster. Because I lived on the coast of Iwate in a little town called Miyako, where the wave reached 39.3 meters. So got homeless. There's a whole story there. And in fact, I'll be speaking about it this Thursday at the Nakameguro Tap Room. Come on down. But very seriously, after that, so I was like a first responder, homeless, all this stuff. And then for, even now, honestly speaking, but for at least a good 5 years, everybody lived in emergency housing because they wouldn't build anything and they wouldn't leverage his existing assets. And that really rubbed me the wrong way. And so the rock and roll thing happened, and then the Akia story started coming out, and I was thinking, ah, oh, geez, like that's maybe a way. Like, make it better for the people in the community that I was in. So it's a multifaceted story and a pretty deep one, but really it's a matter of, like, humanity, I think, of giving people the dignity to actually live in a house instead of just renting or being in a bad situation. So there's a whole lot of empowerment that goes into it for me. The end.
All right. So I talked about it a little bit earlier, but I was unemployed. And that was horrible. It was the worst thing ever. And then I figured out that personal finance could give you kind of security and protect you from these kind of problems. And then I thought, I started feeling like a really religious person. So I have found the answer, and I need to tell everyone else about the answer. And why won't they listen to me? They keep walking away. And so that's why I do what I do.
So for me, it's kind of like a two-sided question, because I bought my first house in 2003, and that was just simply because I come from a background where, I was always told, like, no matter what, if you have a roof over your head, your own roof over your head, you'll always be okay. You can figure something out. So my sole kind of, when I started making money, was like, okay, I need to buy a house or an apartment. So that's how I started to buy properties. But the whole, here, real estate renovations, it started over COVID for us because we were kind of bored with my husband. And so we built a house on one of our properties where I was until then growing tomatoes. So we kind of built a house there. And then after that, we started renovating our house. And we saw the issues, dealing with Japanese builders and Japanese contractors was such a pain in the butt. And I already saw like Jesus Christ, I can do this so much better. So that was literally why and how we started our business, because we saw like, if I'm going through this and I'm here 20 years at that point, what are the other people going through? So we saw the hole in the market, we saw the need that was there, and that's why we started the renovations company.
I actually did the first talk at the conference pretty much on this topic. That was like most of what it was, but I'll say something a little different, which is, you know, I can't predict the future, but I can absolutely see the trajectory that Japan and particularly real estate and Aki and everything are on. And whenever I came here, I did not plan to start a business from the start. I came here buying my own house and learning about the process and realizing there is a big hole in the market for some education and awareness building, because you can't really solve a problem if no one knows about it. So the very first thing is to, you know, if you have an infection, you need to put some disinfectant on it. And in this case, it's just awareness and bringing light to the problem. So I'm here for the long run, and I want to see the problem not solved. I know that's not necessarily completely possible, but I want to see the trajectory shift. And if anything that we're doing here can help that, that makes me really happy, and that's why I'm here.
Thank you. So I'm a very passionate traveler. I traveled for about 4 years, 70 countries, something like that. So that was actually what led me going into the accommodation business. And I remember when I set it up coming on to 12 years ago. Now, some people told me you're too late. So we were about 10 million inbound tourists at that time. We hit 42.7 last year. So, and I think I've been in business for the longest of anyone here. So when people tell you you're too late, you know, Mac, you might actually be pretty early still. So that'd be my takeaway. So
Chikako and I, when we first wanted to invest in Japan, firstly, we made every possible mistake in the book. We bought in the wrong place. We didn't do any market research about rent amounts. We didn't do any market research about the location. We just bought the worst possible properties that were available. And like I was saying before, the agents will not really tell you if you're making a mistake. They're like, yes, the yield is good, you are correct. And that's what we end up at. So when we figured out that there would be a lot of people who could use help with just the process of purchasing here, let alone the professional advice, then we thought we'll just act as their proxies. Along the way, we also educated ourselves so that we can avoid making those mistakes in the future. And then we started providing the professional consultation to people who need the help as well. So it was a very much scratch your own itch kind of situation.
Okay, we've got a slightly more specific question from the online chat. Actually, it was about Emil, but I'm sure most of you could answer. So you revealed in one of the recent podcasts that Japanese lenders are now pushing 50-year terms to offset the surging Tokyo property prices. And so they were just looking for some clarification on the eligibility for that. Can you be age 30, applicants only, or does the 80 minus the age calculation apply or not?
Okay, yeah, very good question. So I don't know about pushing, but really it's an option to offer longer loan terms. Traditionally, loan terms were 35 years, and that was the max, or paid off by your 80th birthday. So once you reach 45 years of age, then the loan term gets 34 years, 33, 32 years. And they've changed that now to still has to be paid off by your 80th birthday, but up to 50 years. So if you're 30 years old, then it's a 50-year loan term. If you're 40 years old, you can get a 40-year loan term or 39-year loan term. That's what that's about. And what that really enables you to do is you can either borrow more money or borrow the same amount, but the repayments are less. Okay, so if you keep the same repayment over for 50 years instead of 35, then you can pay off more, so you have a larger mortgage, or just get a cheaper one.
Thank you.
All of you approach, most of you approach real estate in a different way, right? But what's missing? What kind of service do you need to patch the holes together? Where's there a great demand but not enough people providing supply to the foreign investors?
Commercial.
I know that we personally have been looking for commercial real estate experts to come and speak on the panel or provide information, and there's not many of them. And we help people, we personally at NTI, we help people buy commercial real estate if they're looking for it via traditional Japanese real estate brokers, but somebody who can speak fluently and eloquently and with a lot of knowledge in English about commercial real estate property in Japan and is actually willing to appear publicly, because there are people out there, but their company policies don't allow them to speak publicly for one reason or another. And if you know anyone like that, we'd love to hear from them. Yeah, please.
Is it me, or do you want to go? Who's going? Is it me? All right, I'll say it. Home inspections. That is a thing that exists and is sorely underutilized. So it's right there in front of you, and very rarely, if ever, does it come up in normal conversation, so that you basically get served the information that happens to be on hand whenever it was produced and probably hasn't been vetted in, I don't know, well, it might have been vetted this year, it might have been vetted 30 years ago, something like that.
Well, any speaking inspection company would be good.
Something like that. It would be absolutely amazing. That's, I mean, I won't say I force, but I highly recommend any client that I work with, like, okay, it's going to be an added cost, probably around like 90,000 yen, depending on the size. But number one, we're talking about peace of mind so that you don't buy a clunker when you thought you were buying a diamond. Number two, I think more importantly, is it sets a precedent for everybody else to do the same thing. Because a big part, especially with regards to Akiya, big part of that problem is data, and it doesn't exist. Right. And so if over the years or maybe even the decades, we can somehow incentivize or get more people to do home inspections at probably 5 to 10 year clip, something like that, that would have a huge positive effect on the real estate market here, or at least the home housing market, I think.
And from me, more English support banks. Like, so yeah, so Shinsei Bank and Prestia were the two main ones. Shinsei stopped it, so now it's only Prestia.
Sony Bank stopped too.
Yeah, and yeah, Sony Stamp Bank stopped as well. Like this for the home loans rather. And so for residents that don't speak great Japanese but have permanent residency, that's now an issue.
Yeah, I need financing for the Machio, please, guys over there. So really, you know, we need a product that will really open up the market. So.
Any more hands? Any more questions in the stream? Going one. What was that? Was there someone in the back? Oh, no, that was Matt adjusting the camera.
Everyone's exhausted after
three or four days
of like back and forth.
Okay. So take about an hour for photo opportunities and tearful goodbyes as we normally.
We do have.
We have
a survey to fill out. I know everyone loves a survey. This data is really, really important to us. This is the seventh time that we've done this, and if everyone is happy to keep continuing, then we're happy to keep delivering the content if people are finding value in it. But if hearing from what people are needing is really, really key for the planning of next rounds. So we have a survey and to fill out, which is a QR code which should go up on the screen very soon. But if you do fill it out, I know everyone hates it, but there is a prize. Winner chicken dinner. No, you will win potentially free tickets to the next survey. To the next survey. Sorry. It's late. To the next summit. To the next summit. Yes, to the next summit. So free tickets to the next summit, potentially. So
You cannot exit the building.
You cannot exit the building, but if it's up on the laptop, then we can put it up here on the screen. But that's just what's coming. So
So with that QR code, guys at the back, is that going to display in a second, or Yep, okay. I see some head nodding.
Kind of sit, might be sitting. Yeah, that's
going to
be on me.
just scan Blanco in a second, yes.
Anyway, I can help you.
After party, izakaya after party and drinks. We'll be leaving the building at around 5:30, quarter to 6.
In the morning?
So anyone who wants to join, follow me. We've got about 35 seats saved. Maybe they'll let us in if there's more than us, more than that. So don't be shy. Join us. Thank you very much. Thank you. Fantastic weekend.
Can we just get a quick little group photo of maybe the speakers can hang out, can be here, and you guys just so basically everyone just sit where you are, or stand up. Yeah, sorry, just stand up where you are. Yeah, and we'll get the photo come up. Yeah.
We gotta sit down like that.
Sorry.
You like this?
We'll sit half and half. You can just small
button. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'll sit over there. Right.
Okay, so maybe everybody could kind of come forward, everybody in the back, and kind of scrunch in a bit more. That's okay, yeah. And, yeah.